that they're giving out daily. That means our money's in debt, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder they're why the middle class is going under, when the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments and saving, so more fees are taken. We say the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday, 5:05 p.m. to 6 p.m. immediately following Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, your overview and your tool to make the most of the Forex markets, options, stocks, and, of course, cryptocurrency. And here you are on the Henry Rain Show, the weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news and more. Well, what happened this week? Bitfinet seeks relief in New York courts. Yes, the story started last week, and it's the story that keeps on giving. Will an initial exchange offering save Bitfinex and Tether? Well, we will see and go into that more. What does crypto have to do with the Alliance of American Football? That's the AAF, the recently demised Football League. What is the connection not only to crypto, but to Bitfinex? Everything goes back to Bitfinex. Fidelity Investments is said to be launching cryptocurrency trading service soon, and we have a crew here to make sense of all of this for us, starting with... his theme music forevermore, because that is what they play on Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. Well, we have one half of the co-founders of that. We know him as Andy. Good afternoon,
Andy. Good afternoon, Henry.
That's right. And that's not all this week. We're back on top of the world with more in the studio.
Oh, Billy Joel, I love you.
Hey, Pat Benatar was in town recently.
I didn't know either of you had that kind of
feelings. That's love is a funny thing.
Well, don't fight the feeling. Well, that's a different musical group than on that one.
Is that Journey?
Before we get into our news, if anybody was listening at the top of the hour news on the network news, they were talking about Facebook and the cryptocurrency.
Yes, they were.
Facebook. And I didn't bother to put it in the roundup because there was so much stuff this week. And I was like, Facebook, cryptocurrency, nobody will be listening for news on that. Well, we'll top the network news because they have hired an MIT researcher. One of the MIT has been working on cryptocurrency and blockchain for
a while
now.
Yeah.
And they have opened up their... I would say checkbook, but nobody writes checks anymore.
No.
They've opened up the purse strings.
The purse strings, yeah.
To get a...
Man purse strings.
Yes. A merch string. And...
God. Spare me.
Falling into the abyss here. But.
And they're hiring, and they're definitely making the move on. We'll get into that with some of the other discussions that we'll have here, I'm sure, because Andy has some thoughts about stable coins versus... Facebook coin.
Yeah.
While I'm thinking of it, they've trademarked the Libra symbol. Is that you should know this. You've got the big art background. Is the Libra symbol, is that like the justice, the scales?
Libra?
Yeah.
You know, that's all horoscope stuff. I don't know.
Okay. Well, then I'll take it from here. I think it is the scales, because Libra has the balance. And
I know the Sagittarian is the guy on the horse.
We don't know. But care about any horse guy.
I know.
So.
But beyond
they
that.
They aren't doing the horse guy coin at Facebook. Even though I'm sure there's been moments that Mark Zuckerberg wished that he would be compared to a horse.
Well,
but it's not the part
look
most
Look at the beauty of the Morgan
to.
Silver dollar. Look at the designs, the French designs on the sculptures.
They're beautiful.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. Those are beautiful.
And I'm sure they were looking at horoscopes.
Morgan Silver dollars.
Before we also get into news, this is very important. This is like really super big news, and it really states the fact that where else but in the center of the crypto blockchain universe, which is, of course, the greater Bradenton-Sarasota metro area of Florida, that we have 60 Minutes coming to town tomorrow morning, and I'm scrolling through here so that I can give you the accurate information here. And, yes, not only is this the home of Seeking Crypto, this is where SeekingCryptos.com was given birth to.
That's right.
By Mark and Andrew. It is the birthplace, I would say, of the Henry Raine Show, but I pre-existed it, but the current incarnation of the Henry Raine Show with its blockchain and cryptocurrency focus, this is the home of. And also, it's the home of Bite Federal, the ATM Bitcoin ATM company that's in 8 different states or more. I think maybe more now because there were some in the wings there ready to go. And also a sponsor of this show since the onset of our current orientation, not towards Billy Joel, but to cryptocurrency. So, tomorrow. Now, if you're listening to this live, this is only counts as Tuesday morning. If you're listening after Tuesday morning,
Tuesday
you missed it.
Tuesday the 7th.
Yes, Tuesday the 7th. Tomorrow, the 7th of May, from 8:30 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. Eastern Time, CBS, yes, the network CBS and the show 60 Minutes will be in Bradenton looking to interview cryptocurrency friends. This is describes them. I don't think they really care what your relationship is, as long as you can talk to them about cryptocurrency. They'll be located at the Bite Federal, our sponsor, Bite Federal Bitcoin ATM at the Cortez Road Shell Gas Station, 3612 State Highway 684. That's Cortez Road, 3612 Cortez Road, actually right across from Mocha Joe's, which I understand is a fantastic place to have breakfast or lunch before or after you get interviewed by 60 Minutes, and are welcoming anyone who buys cryptocurrency or at least claims to have bought cryptocurrency.
Or wants to.
Even Augie can come over there and say he knows all about it.
Throw one of them $100 bills in there, Augie. Like a slot machine.
He'll be like, I wanted Facebook going.
You need YouTube in here, I'll tell you.
Say, what about YouTube?
You need to have a YouTube video of what your show was about.
Well, we tried the Facebook and Twitter live streams but on video, but we haven't resolved getting the audio out to the – they can hear us because the ambient noise gets picked up by the phone or whatever camera we're using. But any of the audio that goes through, like the theme music or commercials, not that that's critical, but you don't want them to lose track of the show and wander off to something else. We haven't resolved that yet. In fact, I'm going to give the station here some free advice. I don't know if Big Ed is still out there in the living room.
He's out there right now.
Yes. Well, he can listen. And this is, you are on to something, Augie. I've already been thinking about this, and I have no money or inclination to be able to do this. But somebody that had a AM radio station that covered most of the Tampa Bay metro area, which is one of the top 20 metro markets, media markets in the country, could actually offer a full service to people not that just wanted to do a radio show, but actually do a live podcast video stream and do that whole suite of services and charge a lot more money for it than just being on radio.
Absolutely.
I think that'd be a great idea.
But that's called marketing.
Yeah, well, we'll see if that happens.
Well, by the way,
but I understand big improvements have been being made here under the auspices of management.
Oh, I see vast improvements. Absolutely.
Yeah, we got a production room now and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Maybe we'll actually see that happening.
I thought that's what you said. Yeah.
He's sitting right over there, not through the glass, but over here.
Anyway, maybe
I thought something else happened in that room.
Many things have happened in that room, and some of which can be talked about on the radio, which is why we'll...
Hey, I've got news for you.
Big news is that Andy made money last week right here on the show when Bitcoin was trading about 51.45-ish. He said he was going to go out and buy half a Bitcoin. And how much are you up now in a week?
Like 10%.
That's right, because right around 5,700 now, just under at the moment we're speaking.
Yeah, 250
but
bucks.
It's all around 5,700. Yeah. And
it's enough for dinner.
You should start an investment service.
there's just so much. The sentiment out there is just so bad.
And that's even, you said you were going to buy it not knowing what was going to happen with Bitfinex and Tether and all the stuff that hit the fan a couple days after that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's going on with all that? Bitfinex customers might suffer if it can't access a line of credit from stablecoin issuer Tether, and the exchange's attorneys argue Sunday. In a new filing, attorneys Jason Weinstein and Charles Michael of Steptoe & Johnson and David Miller and Zoe Phillips of Morgan Lewis and Bacchius. I guess part of these are the
law firms.
Law firm for Bitfinex and I guess Tether. Because they're separate entities.
Yeah.
They have separate attorneys.
Yeah.
They have no idea what's going on at either place. Anyway, they outlined a number of arguments why the preliminary injunction by the New York Attorney General to block or at least freeze the line of credit that Bitfinex got from its sister or brother company, Tether, to the tune of $850 million. The lawyer said the balance of equity strongly favors Bitfinex and Tether because a preliminary injunction would not protect anyone, but would instead cause great disruption to Bitfinex and Tether, and ultimately to the detriment of market participants on whose behalf the Attorney General purports to be acting. I think it could have been said a little bit more simply, just to say it's going to hurt our customers. It's going to hurt the innocent people. It's not about us. It's not about Bitfinex or Tether. We care
about
the little people.
The little guy.
The little guy with $23 million in the Colombian bank.
I know. I was. That's the guy. Yeah, that's the guy you're worried about. Yeah.
Oh, the children. Yeah, the children of the 23 millionaire. Anyway,
couldn't help myself.
One person they talking about we're in for the benefit of the people because the little guy's getting screwed, and there's one guy that had 23 million in Tether in New York. And you're like, if you got 23 million in Tether,
in New York,
you live
and
in
he
New
sent
York.
His money out of the country to whoever they said to send it to.
Yeah, I mean, you got 20. You're sending 23 million to offshore exchanges.
They have Polish banks, and they got other banks, offshore banks, and then sometimes they didn't even tell people to send it to banks. It was send it to Sal on the corner of 22nd and 34th, and he'll forward it where it needs
to
go.
To Louis, who will then get it in the bank somehow. Yeah.
Anyway, since the injunction's filing, Bitfinex customers have withdrawn 30,000 Bitcoin, not $30,000, 30,000 Bitcoin. So if we add the three zeros to 30,000, that would have been 30 million. But then we multiply times five, that's $150 million. That adds up. Plus 1 million in Ether, and that's what $170 now. That's $170 million. That's over $300 million. That's more than Augie has.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Well, at least until you sell some of your properties.
Yeah, which I'm
you
about
get more
to
liquid.
The values up in the Midwest are falling through the floor now.
So, sell all that real estate and go into the cryptocurrency exchange.
That's what I'm about to do. I really am. I'm not kidding.
You're going into the cryptocurrency exchange business?
He's going to go to the ATM tomorrow and drop 100.
I was looking with one eye over here and one eye over here. That's crossing your eyes.
Augie's going to go to the Shell station tomorrow morning, buy his first $100 of Bitcoin so that he can talk to 60 Minutes and tell them what he thinks about the world's situation.
What a fragile world we have that we have a president can tweet once and kill the market to the 500-point drop, and then so little credit is given, it comes back within the same day.
Actually, that's sort of accurate. I wouldn't say.
I think we parlayed it to, it's like walking across thin ice, and your leader has a sledgehammer.
That would be a good one. That would be a good one.
Let's bring it back to the fearless leader here in the studio. And speaking of cryptocurrency exchange Bitfinex, They've got a plan. Now,
their first plan, at least.
Yes, the first plan was that they were going to borrow. They had an $850 million shortfall. We're going to get into how that ties in to the failure of the AAF, the most recent football league failure, and how it all ties into that in moments. But first we're going to talk about how they got there and how they were planning on saving things. So they had an $850 million that they thought were in banks or in the third drawer of Cousin Sal's dresser.
Somewhere
there was $850 million around this planet, and it no longer has any access to Bitfinex. So since every tether is backed by an actual dollar of value, they had to come up, because they care about their credibility, they had to come up with $850 million worth to back the tether. So they went to their best friend, the tether company, and said, can you loan us $850 million of tether?
Is it related to leather company?
And the tether company said, well, Bitfinex, we go back for as long as we can remember with each other. Sure, we'll lend you the $850 million. And Bitfinex said, through their parent company, Ifinex, which gave birth to both it's the adopted parent of Tether and Bitfinex. They said, and it's not like it's a favor. We're going to give you $850 million worth of shares of our stock as security for this $850 million loan. It's like money in the bank.
It is.
Except there's no money in the bank in any of this stuff.
No.
Anyway, that's when the New York Attorney General said, I think we need an injunction on that.
Of course.
And to maintain the status quo. Which takes us back to the story we were just talking about how Bitfinex and Tether filed their response because of the little people. So, in the meantime...
That's actually the truth. The little people.
I know.
The people that don't have $850 million.
This is Saturday Night Live. Oh, it's a little bit late.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
So here's the new plan. While they're waiting to resolve this through the due process of the court system of the United States and New York State.
Where's the SEC in all this?
They're probably buying popcorn. Zhao Dong.
Laughing their ass off.
Zhao Dong, a shareholder of cryptocurrency exchange Bitfinex. So he is a good source for this, has released new promotional material detailing the exchange upcoming initial exchange offering. Don't confuse that with an ICO, an initial coin offering. This is an initial exchange offering for up to $1 billion.
An IEO.
An IEO.
It's getting close to an IOU. Oh, my gosh.
Did we just... Did we win some Binance?
It's mom.
Did we win a Bitfinex coin? Anyway, they're going to try and get $1 billion. This information was shared where all great information is shared, through a tweet on May 4th. The document released by Ifinex, that's the parent company, announced the $100 billion U.S. dollar tether worth of exchange's tokens dubbed Leo. I don't know. Why they like what's called Leo, but why not? Probably from their great respect for law enforcement officers.
Yeah. Those Leos are another horoscope character.
I think this is to let us know it's backed by the same heart and soul of the people that keep us safe every day.
Yeah.
Leos. The token described in the marketing document, which specifies that the document is not a white paper. So don't think this is one. Don't think this carries the credibility and technical expertise of a white paper, because we know how much time goes into many ICO white papers.
Does that come in a roll off a wall?
It could be. Yeah. Anyway, it's intended to be a utility token for the company's ecosystem, a.k.a. the exchange. It promises that Leo token holders will enjoy reduced crypto-to-crypto trading fees on Bitfinex and the company's decentralized exchange, EOSFinex. Moreover, the token will be also reportedly grant decreased lending fee reductions, withdrawal and deposit fee discount, and derivatives fee reduction. So it practically pays for itself.
Yeah.
Anyway, so to put this into more normal words, if I can, it's much like Binance Coin. For people that have traded on Binance, which is the biggest exchange in the world, and that instead of paying a fee like you do at Coinbase or Kraken, where you have a fee that's based on the size of the transaction, you use your Binance Coin on Binance, and now you will have a Bitfinex coin for your trades on Bitfinex. Your thoughts, anybody?
You know, I mean, I think they're worthless. I think they'd be better off doing an IEO, which would be like an IPO, and sell shares of Bitfinex, and then you do a share coin where you actually own a part of the profit.
But they already have shareholders.
Well, then they give them something. You got to dilute the shares, hey?
The shareholders are buying the...
They're in a pickle. I mean, Bitfinex is in a pickle here. And of course, it goes back to my conspiracy. I think this all goes back to Goldman Sachs.
It's the kid comes home and says, the dog ate my homework.
Yeah.
I
fail to believe that Bitfinex does not have $850 million sitting around that they can go ahead and cover that tether.
Well, it's secured with the shares of their stock.
The
company is going to receive now $1 billion for their token.
See, what Goldman Sachs is trying to do is they're trying to push Bitfinex to sell their Bitcoin and Ethereum holdings that they probably got a ton of. Because don't they have something to do with Bitmain, too?
Which one? Binance?
Bitfinex.
I don't know. We're probably...
It's a web.
I know they're all Asian out there.
Yeah, they're all. I mean, this is just a web of stuff. So I just fail to believe, and I think that's what they're trying to do, is push them to come up with that collateral at the back feather so they can say it's back. But
it's a lot like a lot of ledger entries. But, you know, let's say this actually happens, where they get $1 billion worth of value for these coins, and there's $1 billion of transaction fees that could happen in the next year or two on the exchange if people are still going to do business with them.
So that's in question if people are going to do business.
Evidently, it's not like we just found out there's questionable stuff about Tether and Bitfinex.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an ongoing thing for years.
Bitconnect, which is something different, but which went out of business about a year ago, and was even more
of a
Ponzi scheme, or multi-level marketing type thing.
People went to jail.
We had people that came to our meetups that swore by BitConnect.
Yeah.
Someone that used to come in the studio swore by BitConnect that it was strong, it was going to stick around. And that was about 2 weeks before it went folded under.
Yeah. Are we in the weeds here with all these variety of things that make...
We're always in the weeds.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is like a desert that finally gets water on and blooms.
We're gonna
die off.
We're going to climb out of the desert here in a second.
All right.
So I guess what I would say, and then I'd ask Andy or Ronnie anything to add to this, if you're still holding Tether and you don't have to, why? If you're still on Bitfinex, why?
I have no idea.
So when a person decides that same question, why am I doing this, how in the hell do they get out?
Well, that's where $300 million went that we were talking about earlier. Yeah. To what they did, this is back a week ago when the Bitcoin and everywhere else was trading for $51.45, and Andy said, that's a good buy. People, a couple days later, when all this hit the fan, were buying Bitcoin on Bitfinex for the equivalent of $5,600 when they could still buy it for $51.45 on other exchanges. So they were basically saying, I will take a 10% loss on the price to get it in
Bitcoin
and get it out of here. Or get it in Ethereum and get it out of here. Hmm. And that's where $300 million went.
Wow.
So,
you know, and this kind of stuff actually fades good into their thing because Tether's now trading at, what, a 5% discount? Or a 2% discount, something like that?
Tether's trading at 99 cents.
Is it?
Yeah.
Still? Well, there are some stupid people out there. I mean, who in the hell is, I don't know. I don't know. It's just, blows my mind. You tell people, don't eat on Bitfinex.
Well, what we're going to look at now and tie it into the AAF, the Football League, is a man named Reginald Fowler.
Wasn't he a football player?
Oh, yes. He was a football player and a football team owner. I'm going to try and pick the commercial break without Brian this week. And I'm starting to suspect that Brian is in all the commercial breaks. But on the other side, we're going to explain.
I just pulled over. My wife and I can't resist listening to your show.
Well, don't turn off that radio. And we're going to find out how crypto collapsed the AAF. They weren't even around long enough for me to really know what it stands for, except I know the F is for football and American is one of the A's. But we'll figure that out over the break. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show. If you enjoy the trading and investment ideas you hear on Talking Markets with Mark and Andy, then you're going to want to become a member of their SeekingCryptos.com membership service. And you can join for absolutely free. When you sign up for a free membership at SeekingCryptos.com, you'll start receiving analysis and perspective by email on trade examples, cryptocurrencies, stocks, metals, educational content, and exclusive offers. SeekingCryptos.com has something for you advanced traders, too. Check out the premium membership, the expert swing trades, or the quant geeks packages. Seeking Cryptos has skin in the game just like you. They post their trades in real time, and you can follow the results right on their portfolio page. So what are you waiting for? Go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up for your free membership now.
Alcova Massage has been providing quality massage therapy in Bradenton for over 5 years. And we are proud and excited to announce we've expanded our practice and boutique to a larger facility. Located at the historic downtown Bradenton, we're in a charming craftsman-style building across the street from the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. Alcova Massage offers many treatment rooms, a spacious lobby, and doorfront parking spaces just for our clients. But what we're most proud of is our highly qualified massage therapists offering great service to our valued clients. Availability and instant booking is found at lauraalcover.com. Alcover Massage. Like us on Facebook, 204 13th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. Book your appointments now at lauraalcover.com or call us at 941-592-3187. MN number 34081. MA number 50525.
It's all the way up. It's all the way up. It's all the way up.
Henry Raine Show here, WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday, 5.05 p.m. to 6 p.m., immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. And again, we want to remind you that if you're listening live right now, the 7th of May, that's tomorrow, Tuesday morning, that you can go to the Shell station on Cortez Road, Bradenton, which is 3612 State Road Highway 684. That's also Cortez Road West in Bradenton. And that does pick up on the microphone there. Mm. That was Augie making sure his ice is melting in his cup. So now we will continue with our other plug.
Well, I thought it was a fish swimming by here, but I didn't know.
Yes, I know. It was very discreet. Nobody would have noticed if I had said something.
Sure.
So, Bradenton Crypto fans, tomorrow from 8:30 to 10:45, CBS. Yes, that's CBS.
The real
60
CBS.
Minutes. Yes, and
they're still around.
That show, 60 Minutes. Yes, they are.
Are they on cable still?
They just lost Oprah, though.
Oh.
But they'll still stick around. Don't worry. Anyway, and they're going to be around at least long enough till tomorrow because they're going to be in Bradenton looking to interview some cryptocurrency friends. They'll be not friends of CBS, cryptocurrency friends of the show here. They'll be located at the Byte Federal Bitcoin ATM in the Shell Station there at the aforementioned 3612 State Road Highway 684 West. That's Cortez Road West. There'll be a stoplight right there. It's across from Mocha Joe's finest eating establishment on Cortez
Road. There's a McDonald's nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're behind the McDonald's, so you just drive past the McDonald's or walk past the McDonald's, and you have breakfast and lunch there, and some days you can even stick around and have dinner. But not the Shell Station. You can eat there anytime, really, 24 hours just about. But you're only going to see CBS in 60 Minutes there. I wonder if it's going to be Leslie Stahl or I know it's not going to be Morley Safer anymore.
It might be Leslie. She's creating news every once in a while.
Yeah.
By herself.
And they, you know, Byte Federal, our sponsors, is centered here. And, of course, one of, I think, the only two or three broadcast radio Bitcoin shows is here. And, of course, the gestation of SeekingCryptos.com happened here.
Yep.
Now, I've got to say something because I, on the way up here, it's an hour's 45-minute drive anyway from Sarasota coming up here. I listened to Andy's stock market show. It's two different shows, but it's really a Bitcoin show in disguise.
Well, today it was. No. It's all markets. And
we trade them all.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of everything.
I mean, it's hard to day trade cryptos.
That's amazing. All right, so we said when we came back on the break, we were going to get around to who was behind some of this stuff with Bitfinex. And how did it crash an aspiring football league? Well, the missing $850 million of Bitfinex is now in the hands of the U.S. Department of Justice. Part of it is. Part of it's with Polish authorities. Part of it's in London with British authorities. But
why don't they just give Bitfinex their money back?
They're not getting their money back. They're not getting their money back. Funds seized by the feds from an HSBC bank account. It has to go back to HSBC before it even had a shot at getting to anybody whose name was on the account, and that name was not spelled Bitfinex.
Oh, my God.
You're too cynical, Henry.
Yeah.
A web.
And anyway.
Is Pablo Escobar on there? Is he on one of the account holders? Pablo Escobar?
Nah.
Capo?
He's not. Medellin, Colombia is becoming a tourist attraction now.
It's pretty much. They used to have kidnap insurance if you were an American there. I had a friend of mine who's a lawyer up in Illinois, and his kid went down there, and he had like $10 million insurance for to protect him from being kidnapped.
Oh, wow.
It's not that way anymore.
Oh.
Not at all.
All right. Anyway, behind all this, or involved in the center of all this, was a man named Reginald Fowler. One of the unnamed cryptocurrency exchange used to send their money to him. Fowler and another gentleman, Ravid Yosef, identified as an Israeli citizens, were charged in the Department of Justice indictment. And listed among others in the indictment was this bank account, HSBC USA account 1410014. Don't worry about
writing checks already.
There's nothing in there now. It was taken all on October 6th of 2018. The block managing editor, Larry Sinek, who was just an editor of a Bitcoin news site, shot a screenshot of the instructions from Bitfinex. Customers were directed to wire U.S. dollars to their wallets via HSBC bank account, which that number identified as belonging to Global Trading Solutions. Now, don't try and keep track of these names because they're not supposed to be able to keep track of. Bitfinex had a history of transferring monies to its customers. Not from its customers, to its customers. It repeated troubles finding a mainstream bank. Wells Fargo ceased doing business with them. Bifinex used a series of smaller banks with shaky finances, Nobel Bank in Puerto Rico, Deltek Bank in the Bahamas, and these other miscellaneous customer account banks or friends of Bifinex account banks. The payment processor was named Crypto Capital. They were funneled, some of this was going through them and going to these different bank accounts that actually had third or fourth or fifth parties controlling them. The governments that have been identified by having seized this money are the U.S., Portugal, Poland, and I believe there's one here, if I read farther down, that'll show us where the United Kingdom got it. So anyway, this takes us back to Reginald Fowler, who was the main guy, at least according to the Department of Justice, with these accounts. And it may have a familiar name to football fans because he was a limited partner in the NFL's Minnesota Vikings. I believe he also was an NFL football player, which is how he made these connections. In 2005, Reggie Fowler announced his intention to lead a group buying the team. That would be the Minnesota Vikings. The $625 million deal would have made him general partner, and he would have been the first African-American general partner in NFL history. However, questions about his finances and resume caused him to withdraw that offer after 3 months later, though he stayed as a limited partner. As it turns out, Reggie Fowler has a long history of lawsuits and has substantial real estate holdings through a Chandler base, that's Chandler, Arizona, based real estate company. It goes on to say that he has numerous lawsuits against him. There's also, as I try and scan through some of this other, there's the United Kingdom. So we have this guy, Fowler, who's not only sort of lost his credibility in this NFL deal, he's had a lot of bad real estate deals and other things, with, yet this is who the AAF was going to as their main money guy. That's what the other A is, the Alliance of American Football. It wasn't even long enough for me to learn three letters, what they stood for. Alliance of American Football, 18 Professional Football League, collapsed last month, just 8 weeks into its first season. The AAF's chairman, Tom Dundon, also owner of NHL's Carolina Hurricanes, the National Hockey League. This guy owned the National Hockey League team, and they didn't do the $50 Google background check.
I know. I'm like amazed, you know.
Anyway, they suspended the operations, canceling the last two games of the regular season. Fingers were pointed at Reggie Fowler. And again, this is the same Reggie Fowler that was with the Minnesota Vikings ownership deal.
I wonder if he has TPA clearance.
Not anymore. Anyway, he was supposed to come up with $150 million for his share of the Minnesota Vikings. He never did that. It's not clear whether Charlie Ebersol, that is the AAF CEO. Now, I think, who is the Ebersol that was involved in NBC Sports? And
yeah, Dick Ebersol.
Yeah, that comes from a well-known family. So we have the guy that owns the NHL Carolina franchise. We've got Ebersol, who we think is related to Dick Ebersol because he's got all these sports connections and should know how to smell a scam when the one's coming on. I mean, we're circulating at a pretty high level. Knew that Fowler had been sued dozens of times. It's not clear if they knew that Fowler had been sued dozens of times, so I guess that means they didn't do the Google check. Or that he was oddly secretive about his net worth, but the league accepted Fowler as its original lead investor.
God.
According to Action Network, Fowler committed to $170 million to the league. Must be the $150 million that he had been saving by not buying the Minnesota Vikings.
If there was a massage parlor integrated into all this, I mean, this would just be like
that's where the
story.
Other $20 million came from.
Somebody in the, what was it, the Patriots, the owner of the Patriots, got caught and still not done.
Well, but we have to give him credit. He did come up with $28 million,
yeah.
Which, you know, I would have a tough time coming up with a full $28 million.
Oh yeah, no, you'd make it.
Well,
Qualcomm did that for you. Come on now.
Yeah. Or if maybe I could do a pledge drive on the show.
I'm sure that'll do it.
Anyway, so relying on his $170 million, or the $142 million shortfall, was their undoing. It appeared that financing was on shaking ground just one week into the season. The owner of the NHL franchise intervened in February, extending a $250 million lifeline, which sounds like a loan, to the league, which, anyway.
It's in Poland now.
The rest has come through, even with the television deal with MGM International, as well as money from Founders Fund, the VC firm of Peter Thiel, wasn't enough to save the AAF. And the rest is history. And what's the silver lining on all this? Vince McMahon, the owner of the WWE, probably was pretty happy when he heard this story go down, although he doesn't root for people's unhappiness. But if you were trying to launch the second incarnation of the XFL, this would work pretty well in your favor. And it turns out now, in an unrelated news, although it's generally related, but not directly related.
That was a fun sport to watch.
Well, you know, he was the one that originated the suspended camera over the football field. On the runner that goes on the.
The trouble is, folks, all of the football efforts are going to be stunted as time wears on. There's no way around it.
It only matters for a few years because the second incarnation is coming up in less than a year, and they just announced that they have signed multi-year deals with ESPN and Fox Sports both.
Ooh,
the,
wow.
the games will be on ABC, Fox, ESPN, ESPN2, FS1, and FS2.
So you got Disney, Fox. Wait.
Yeah, you have the ESPN channels, the Fox Sports channels, ABC Network, and Fox Network. So all the teams, all the time, are going to be on. They're going to play in the spring, and they're going to play on Saturdays instead of Sundays. And over half of the games, half of all the games will be on TV. And 13 will air on ABC, 11 on Fox. And
that's really, I think, a good idea.
Vince McMahon put it together, and the gravy train hasn't stopped just yet. Well, I'll finish this very quickly. So anyway, the networks are reserving them Saturday, basically 12 to 1, and then a 4 o'clock show every Saturday to get people in the habit of watching it. Now, they're not paying Vince
McMahon. Kill baseball.
They're not paying that's already become a local sport.
Oh, Little League. Oh, there you go.
No, it's a local market sport. Okay. But that doesn't mean it's not Major League.
You have to bring some Marauders. Come on. I mean, big time.
No, it's serious. It's become a local market TV sport, but it's local market TV sport that receives billions of dollars in TV revenue.
Absolutely.
And only 30% of the revenue comes from the ballparks. So it's still major league money, whether you want
to
choke on your Polar Cup there and you're trying to inhale it.
Well,
but anyway, let's get back to this.
The innovation is flag football.
And the XFL is not going to be paid licensing rights as though it were football or Major League Baseball, but ESPN and Fox Sports are going to pay the production cost of $400,000 per game, and they will be selling advertising, and the WWE or the parent company, they have the expertise to sell their advertising. So the production costs are paid for. They have a multi-year, not one-year deal with all these networks.
Whoa.
Multi-year deal. And they can reap the revenue from this. And you know,
What month does it start?
It's the next spring.
Which month of the year?
In the springtime, it says.
Okay.
You know, it narrows it down to 3 months for you.
All right.
So it's 13 weeks in the spring.
Sometime.
Maybe like March 21st. Pulling a date out of my head.
Somewhere.
Anyway. But, so they have all that going on. And knowing Vince McMahon, see, these aren't individual franchises like the AAF. He owns all the teams. There is no union.
Oh,
boy. The players know their role, and he knows it, and he said this, that this is their shot to get back to the NFL. He is content being a feeder league to the NFL because he got six networks. And and he'll be paying these
whatever
football players probably $25,000 a year. You know, I'm just pulling, I don't know this number, but for 13 weeks of work, plus, you know, your winter
your
training.
Travel expenses.
Yeah, maybe 5 or 6 months.
It gives you a chance to get into the big boy league.
Yes. I mean, what is a minor league baseball player get paid? What does an Ohio State football player get paid? He doesn't make millions of dollars.
In Florida State, they can bring crab legs.
The league to partner with this league that has financing, this is from Fox Sports President Mark Silverman. The league to partner with is the league that has financing. The XFL has a business plan. It is in it for the long haul. We did our diligence.
And Collar was in the bottom of it.
Other football leagues, we made sure this entity is in for the long run.
Foul guy.
The business plan is in order.
A follower guy.
We know the key leadership from our WWE deal. And we also know that his wife was in the Trump administration. What can go wrong with us?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Turn the education system over to them. They'll do a good job.
All right. So we sort of had some detours here, but it all tied on. It all came back to crypto. It always comes back to crypto and the shelf station tomorrow morning. Last story that we have here, financial services giant, this is big, Fidelity Investments said to be launching cryptocurrency trading service soon. Bloomberg News report today, citing, quote, a person familiar with the matter, high journalistic standards, said that Fidelity roll out the service for trading Bitcoin, quote, within a few weeks. We'll focus on institutional, not retail customers.
Okay, well, they've already had that.
According to Fidelity spokesman Arlene Roberts, I guess she was asked for comment, because she certainly isn't the person that revealed this. It was just some person with knowledge.
Well, they got a partnership with Coinbase,
I think. We currently have a select set of clients we're supporting on our platform. We will continue to roll out our services over the coming weeks and months based on our clients' needs, jurisdictions, and other factors. Currently, our service offering is focused on Bitcoin. A lot to read between the lines there. Anyway, they recently did a survey saying that 22% of high-income investors already are invested in Bitcoin. And another 40%
are interested.
Said they are interested.
I thought they rolled that out in March for their high with Coinbase. They did some.
Coinbase has been linked to Fidelity individual accounts so that they can watch their balances, but it wasn't a direct trading situation.
Now they can direct trade.
Evidently starting at the top tiers, and they're going to be working their way down to the common people, the little people.
The little guy.
Yeah.
Oh, good little people. Don't be sad.
You get TD Ameritrade, you get E-Trade.
Who needs an ETF?
Well, you know, that's what's going to allow it. I mean, because then you're going to have a centralized exchange. It's going to be monitored. I think this is all a prelude to getting an ETF. And then once you have the ETF, then that makes just trading so much
ETF
easier.
ETF will be anticlimactic, though.
Well, you know what? I think of it from a trading perspective. Trading Bitcoin or day trading Bitcoin and stuff, it's very difficult to do. Now, if they have some options and stuff like that, it makes it a little more easier. But 5,000, I mean, for you to handle some, you know, you need it. But an ETF be priced in the $40, $50 range. You know, there's a lot more opportunities there.
Well, another question is this going to be a 24/7 trading platform because Bitcoin trades 24/7. Whether it's TD Ameritrade, TD Ameritrade has their 24/5 trading.
With IWM and QQQ and SPY and those.
I think
all night long.
Prelude to an ETF, but not a Bitcoin ETF. A mutual fund, a index of different currencies.
There you go.
Or an ATM even, yeah.
And then they take the management fee on top.
Yeah. There's money to be made.
Why would you pay any kind of management fee for a Bitcoin ETF if you can just buy it whenever you want on your trading platform?
Well, I think you're going to get Bitcoin, Ethereum, and it'll have a weighted average. It'll be like buying the socks.
Coming back to the imagination and the creative side of football and trying to save it.
You got 60 seconds.
I do believe that if there's going to be invention happening first, it's going to come from people that have done with this, brought the viewer back to a sport that's much more interesting than spring baseball.
Yeah, you're like, is it September yet?
God help us.
All right, there's a lot of other positive news. I don't even have time for the headlines for you, but we'll be back next week with another Henry Raines show. Be sure you start tuning in at 4:05 for Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. It's your Monday trading block here on WWPR, 1490 AM.
Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand.